tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is The Promise, and you hear all these claps. We don't get this every day, but we've got a live studio audience before us today. So excited. It's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We do this every month, but we don't do this every month. We've got about 70 friends in a room with us enjoying great conversation, and if you just hopped in your car, you just tuned in, boy, you missed an awesome first hour. You're going to have to go back and catch the podcast. We spent a good portion of the first hour talking about just the toxicity of how we allow the holidays to make us toxic, and they're not meant to be that. To really go back to the reason for the season as we head into these holidays, is there a way to pace ourselves and to remember, be present with our food and our friends and family in a way that we can wake up on January 1st and actually celebrate a brand new year. So Dr. Troy, let's take, because we didn't tackle this particular question, the idea of life detox in these next weeks. Here we are just, you know, the holidays are right before us. And you talked about just the physiological impact of giving your body support by allowing it to detox. Well, think about getting rid of some of the junk before we go into the next year. Talk about ways we can do some soul searching so we can be ready for this next year.
Yeah. When we're in this season, it's a season of celebration, and what we want to do is just shift the perception people have, because there is a way to celebrate the season and come out with more energy, being invigorated by the season. And that's what it should feel like. So we shouldn't feel that lethargy or the consequence of the season. We should feel a little bit better, or a lot better. And it's one of those things, when you get into the flow of life, as far as you're on purpose and you're doing as much as you're receiving, and it's just, things are flowing. Sometimes it can be seem effortless, and I've been in that space and I've been out of it. And the reality is, when things are working and you're working for God and with people, people come up to you and say, man, you have a busy life. You just go. Don't you think you should take a break, or you know, need some rest? And the reality is, I feel really good. I get rejuvenated from what I'm doing. So it becomes something where there's a constant fuel when it's done right. And I'm not saying I do it right all the time.
Well, there's an ebb to the flow too,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so with that, we kind of need that, because us being imperfect in our nature and how we are, if every day was a really good day, we wouldn't know what a good day felt like. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to have bad days, bad moments, and be human, so that we can then have that much more gratitude for what Jesus did for us to cover our sins and to cover us in that imperfection. And so you just have to take time to sit back and reflect on that and say, man, boy, I really messed up there. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And really feel it in your heart too. And so taking some time to mentally check in, talk to God, talk to yourself, and look at, how am I setting myself up for this season, good and bad, and saying, you know what, I'm going to say no to the extra desserts at Bible study. I've had this conversation 5 times this week as far as encouraging people to say no to the sweets at Bible study.
You can do it.
And because the reality is, we're trying to make some changes in their life. And I ask them, I say, what's getting in the way? And they say, you know what? I get these beautiful things being made at the potluck for Bible study. And I say, well, okay. Can you let people know what you're doing? Because it's not about them. As far as if you're being honest with them. Mm-hmm. And there's a way to say this. If I have something really where someone's just not listening, and I believe that my recommendations are going to help them, I say it like my pastor does to me. He leans in, he says, I'm going to say this, Troy, pastorally to you. I'm just going to lean in, and with a loving heart, you need to smarten up.
Is
and
he
people
Irish?
Get that. He is. He says it with his little accent.
Exactly,
there.
Yes. Yeah.
You need to smarten up, lad. So it's the same thing where we can say that to people, and we have this fear. Mm-hmm. And remember, our eyes, when we're in that fear, our eyes are not fixed on Jesus. They're fixed on people pleasing, because we don't want conflict between the person in front of us. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so if there's ever conflict, then we know what to do about that. Come back to them and resolve it. And we know about forgiveness. We know about imperfection. So it's okay to say, I'm not eating sugar right now. I don't want to offend you, but I'm going to bring my own food. And so, I mean, don't interrupt the whole Bible study, start barbecuing chicken on the middle of anything like that.
I brought my own
barbecue. And so there's a way and an art to do that. And the reality is we let fear start to dictate what we say yes and no to. And so many people have a hard time saying no. And I'm saying you can say no by mentally preparing and using discernment.
And also getting a vision for what you're going for. Because especially if you've got health issues and you're trying to get healthy, people will understand that to say, I have been bogged down by health things for so long. I'm committed to this and I pray that you'll understand. You know, he said in the first hour, Dr. Troy talked about two of the ways we lose our way in the holidays is overindulgence, where we eat more and take in more than we should. And then we commit to more than we should. So either we're pleasing our flesh or we're pleasing others. Now, there's nothing wrong with, of course, we're called to love and serve others, but I pray God gives us the wisdom when we're hitting the rumble strips on both of those. Because yes, enjoy some things, but then say no to our flesh too, because there's life in that. Yes, attend a few things, but then say no so that you have time to sit by the tree and open your journal and hear what God is saying, so that there's an ebb to the flow. And
absolutely.
I just think my mentor always has said, Susie, if it's not a capital yes, it's a no. And that has served me so well, that if I have a capital yes, like I have to do this. And I'm an introvert. I would live at home in my little quiet prayer space if I could. But there are times by obedience I have to go out, you know? And you might be an extrovert. Well, by obedience, Jesus might be saying, come away with me for a little bit. Sit down. And that's where I feel like it takes vision, and it takes, even like you said, practice and presence of mind to go, how am I going to answer these people? Because I'm committed to a flourishing life, and I can't be all things to all people, and I can't do whatever I want whenever I want it to flourish. There's got to be some no's involved to flourishing, basically.
Absolutely. And I wrote this one sentence down because I look at this many, many times, but it says, many people's decisions are a combination of their habitual responses and their desire to please themselves or others. Who are we really to please? And then let us fix our eyes on Jesus.
What we just
talked about earlier.
So he cares about our holiday season. He cares that you have intimate times by the tree. He cares that maybe you serve somebody that you hadn't planned on, and loves when you belly laugh with people that you love. But I mean, if we can get a vision for what is possible and that it involves yeses and nos that don't always suit us, we may come through going, this was the best holiday ever. And that's kind of what we're hoping and praying for. So Neil, we've got some questions back there.
We do. Yes. I'm going to go to Holly. Go ahead.
Hi, I have a question about specifically my health. So I have been on a journey for the last 5 years of no gluten, dairy, sugar, and like I feel like I'm doing everything right. And then recently I've been eating specifically starchy vegetables, so like rutabagas and turnips, and my heart races and my face gets really flush and I get kind of like sweaty. And so I'm wondering, is it like pre-diabetes concerns, histamine reactions? Like what kind of thoughts do you have towards that?
Yeah, you've done your homework too. Those are histamine foods. So
that is an
autonomic response, what you're talking about. So that's a fight or flight response. There's two different scenarios. So histamine can be one of them. And so managing that becomes a little more challenging. But there's also a component where certain starches are not broken down as efficiently. And if you're not breaking them down because you don't have the enzymes breaking down all that well, they can actually irritate a part of your digestive system, the valves in the digestive system. And when you end up getting an irritation and they become red and inflamed, they'll actually spasm or contract. And so that will cause or potentially cause what's called a visceral somatic reflex, or a reflex back where you actually elicit that fight or flight response from food. So you can check and see if you go down just to the, not right now, don't do this in front of everyone, but if you go down to your belly button and just off to the right a couple inches and down an inch or two, if you put pretty significant pressure there and there's pain or tenderness, that's a sign that it's possibly being irritated, causing that visceral somatic reflex. And if that's doing okay, then I would actually follow up on the histamine conversation part of it. So you kind of answered your own question. You're kind of
pretty impressive.
Kind of smart.
We got
there.
Amazing people here.
Yeah, you have smart people.
All right, Rachel is next.
Hi, Dr. Troy.
Hello.
My son is 11, and he's highly allergic to mold. I know it's some kind of an autoimmune response, so I've been giving him extra vitamin D, B's and C's, and probiotics. Is there anything else you could recommend in terms of autoimmunity to help with him not losing the hair?
Yeah, so the biggest thing with mold is to make sure there's no mold in the environment. So if you continue to have mold exposure, then it doesn't really matter what you're going to be doing. So that's first and foremost. And for a lot of the listeners out there, if you want to check and see if you have mold in your house, Home Depot has these little agar plates for, I think, $35 that you can just go get and put them out. And if mold grows in there, then you know there's spores in the air that you're breathing in all the time. And here in Minnesota, we have an abundance of mold in our homes. And we don't know it. So it's a really big problem and challenge for a lot of people, and they don't even know it. So first and foremost, just really do your best to see if there's any mold there. Secondly, it is all about the digestive system, starting there, and the nasal system as well, as far as just keeping the good bacteria in there. So glutathione, fish oil, and vitamin D are the three main boosters for the immune system, and getting the good bacteria and probiotics in there. And then sometimes you have to use biofilm busters to help break up a lot of the mold, because it can get real sticky. Like one of the challenges with Lyme's disease is how biofilms are made, and they literally form these little globules that adhere to different areas in our body. And mold is very, very similar. It can be very hard to get out of the body. Exercise and getting the temperature up and then sweating is also very, very important. And so you need the water. So those are where I would start first, as far as making sure he's doing okay that way internally, and then just make sure the air quality in the house is very good.
We're going to pause and take a break, but I want you to, Dr. Troy, give us an announcement, because you started a new group page that you're all invited to join, a Facebook page for the holidays. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so during the holidays, we like to encourage our patients to be healthy. So we started a group page on Facebook, and it's about staying healthy through this season. So you can go to that page, like it, and there's going to be some inspirational quotes or some information on being healthy through the season, some really good recipes, stuff like that. So it's meant to be a forum for you guys to contribute as well. And it's one more thing to just help us stay focused during this season. And it's meant to really lift people up and inspire and support you. And we want you to engage in that. So our patients do this all the time. And it's really helpful through the season. And Dr. Amber at the clinic, she actually is going to be showing up once a week early to do morning calisthenics and take people on her morning run. So she runs outside in the wintertime in Minnesota.
Nice.
And she will help you do that.
Okay, that'd be fun. So the name of the page is Staying Healthy Through the Seasons, right? Staying Healthy Through the Seasons. We're going to pause here and take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear a fascinating story about something Dr. Troy's doing behind the scenes so he can play football with dudes half his age. I'm just fascinated by this. And we'll take more of your questions, too. We'll be back in just a moment. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. We are having a fabulous time with our friends here, live studio audience, here with Dr. Troy, talking about all kinds of things. Kind of the main thrust of the conversation is how to detox in the holiday season, amidst the holiday season, so we can be present, we can feel good, and we can wake up January 1st. Everybody else is going to feel toxic, but this little group of 70, we're going to be, man, we're going to attack this thing.
That's right.
It's awesome. Not that we wish less for anybody else, but we'll be super glad for us. So anyway, a month ago, I talked to Dr. Omalu, and many of you saw the film Concussion. Will Smith played that character, that doctor, true story. And he never even knew about football. I think he was from Africa, if I remember right. But he came and he did an autopsy on an NFL player who literally lost his mind once he was out of the NFL through too many blows to the head. And he'd done the autopsy on the brain. And I think he coined the diagnosis CTE. I think it came from
Correct.
Him, right?
Yep.
And they're seeing more and more of these football players who are having, memory loss at least, and brain damage at worst. And Doc and I had a conversation up in the green room one day before one of our shows, and he said, you know, there's more to that story, though, because there, of course, no head is meant to take the kind of repeated blows that you do take in contact sports. And he said, but there are players who've come through the NFL and have none of those things. And as they've studied that, these players had clean diets, where those who had the worst brain damage were drinking a lot, eating lots of sugar, and so tons of inflammatory foods. So they were all inflamed, and then they're getting bashed. So it kind of goes back to one of the moms here who asked a question about her daughter and the athlete, being an athlete, that your body can handle a lot if you support it. And in fact, we can even commit to more than we probably think we can if we support our systems. And so this is just fascinating to me. So doctor, you used to play lacrosse, is that right? At a pretty high, rugby.
Rugby, yes.
Yeah, at a high, high level.
And I look more like a lacrosse player than I do a rugby player. That's why you get confused, I understand.
Yeah, sorry. Easy mistake. No, yes. I'm kidding. But so he truly was a high level athlete. But here you are playing with guys who are almost practically half your age. And I said, okay, how are you doing it? Because he was just saying guys are injuring out left and right. And he said, but it's so much about supporting the system. So just give us an inside look about what you've been doing so you can keep up with these guys. You're running every bit as fast and you're bouncing back and you're not injuring except for getting your tooth blown out. But that was their fault. So anyway.
So I'm going to talk a little bit on the concussion stuff first because it's very relevant. And our brain is kind of like Jell-O. And so it will move around. And so it's meant to be a little more fluid that way than our muscles and everything like that. The problem is if you have inflammation, if you're inflamed, think about what happens to Jell-O, a mold, when you put it into a heat source or something like that, or there's some type of negative reaction there. We actually start to see it break down a little bit, but it also hardens. And so if you don't have that flexibility in your membranes, when you take that concussive force, that's more likely to be injured. So there is a question here that has to be studied of what was the quality of their brain when they took the impact? What's the quality of their immune system response in the brain when they took that impact? Vitamin D is crucial for concussion and for immune system. Again, it's a very big, important one. Blood sugar and blood sugar regulation as far as the brain and the blood-brain barrier is very important. And then the fats that we eat and if we're deficient in them. And a lot of people who are inflamed are deficient in certain fats. And so how a person enters into their sporting event as far as the health of their cells is more important to determine the, in my opinion, more important to determine the potential risk for injury. Of any kind, yes. Mm-hmm. And so it's all about balance, mental, chemically, and physically. So for myself, I apply that to try and keep up with these younger guys. And It worked pretty well. I was one of the few that I think I was one of two that didn't get hurt on the team this year. So, and I played every game. The only one that played every single game through the season. And they are half my age, and they don't really know how old I am, except for a couple of them. I think have an inkling because they called me Old Man Winter once.
But, that hurt.
Yeah. But the reality is I prep for it. And so a lot of it has to do with my diet, clean living. And then specifically, I have a routine that I do beforehand that sets my body up to be as balanced as possible going into the actual day of the event.
So give us a look at what that is.
Fast for part of it. And so I basically clean my system out as far as the rest and digest. I make sure I get the good sleep. I make sure that I fast, and all when I do eat, then all of the nutrients, all of the fuel is going to my arms and legs for my muscles. And so I will time everything. I increase my antioxidants and my anti-inflammatories before and after the game. And so,
and you reduce all the inflammatory foods.
Yes,
so there's, you reduce
because I still
them.
I eat them in my life. I still eat them, but yeah, not the week of a game, mm-hmm, or not 5 days before a game. So for me, when I was 21, I could get away with that and eat something 24 hours beforehand and get away with it. I'm older than 21, and now my time is 5 days, and that is getting further and further out. So 4 years ago, I was 3 days, 3.5 days. And so I know more about how my body is recovering. And I do, there are certain things that are still happening. I bruise easier. I get these bruises when I play sometimes. And so that's still happening. But I'm I prepare with the anti-inflammatory, the fasting at the right time, and fueling my body, and I carefully observe what's happening, and I make sure my immune system is supported. So my vitamin D, I take extra, because when I'm exercising to that degree, and it's a different type of exercise because there's sprinting and stuff, and at our age, it's more of pulling hamstrings and pulling muscles and stuff like that that you can have problems with. And when I keep my immune system up and my recovery system going well, after the first weekend, it becomes easier and easier and easier. So by the end of the season, I'm the strongest I was all year, in spite of the contact and some of the other stuff that happens.
This is what's amazing. We have a hard break coming up in a couple minutes, but I wanted to take this sort of and apply it to us here again in the holidays. And you think about, we put added stress on ourselves. The holidays and the very nature of what we've done in the holidays put stress on us. But what if we supported our system? So that's another just thought I had as far as we walking through these weeks. Well, we did what we could do to build up our immunities. And then you think about when you get past the holidays, if you've got a big event coming up, to think of food as medicine, to think of your body is the temple, to think, because I have this big thing, I can't do all these other things. And I have to make sure I get to bed. I got to drink more water. I got to bring down the sugar, because, and that will make a difference how we fare, won't it?
Absolutely. The difference is it's more obvious when I'm trying to prevent injury because it's physical. But the reality is all these diseases are still injuries at a cellular level. So you're really preventing the injury at a cellular level. It's just not as obvious. If I could show you what your cells look like under a microscope, and show you how you damaged it, then you'll start to see it. You can actually go on YouTube and see what happens to your blood vessels when you eat a high fatty fast food meal. You can actually see them spasming for 4 to 6 hours from that meal compared to a nice high antioxidant, fresh from the farm to the table plate of carrots or whatever it ends up being.
Which helps in the bathroom, like you said, first hour. Yes. So that's super important to mention, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, one day we have to take a break, but one day we had a caller about the bathroom things, and I got the giggles. And every time I tried to ask the question, I got the giggles, and I had to change the subject.
I couldn't do it.
I'm like, how grown up am I? Oh, my word. And then he scolds me. He's like, tells me, he's like, you know, the bathroom thing is extremely important for health. I'm like, I'll get it. So if we want to talk bathroom, bring it on. I'm ready today. I have my antioxidants.
You've come so far.
My progress is really amazing. Okay, we're going to stop. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to take some more audience questions. Man, the time is flying. Suzy Larson here. This is With the Promise, having a great conversation with Dr. Troy and so many good friends in studio. We'll be back in a minute. So much for tuning in. I'm Suzy Larson. This is The Promise. Having such a great time. This is like my favorite, seeing all these amazing faces. Live studio audience today as we do health and healing with Dr. Troy. Such fascinating conversation. If you just hopped in the car, just tuned in, please go back and catch the podcast. Just so much good information. Okay, Neil, we've got him out in the live studio audience taking questions.
That's right. Pam is next. Go ahead.
I wanted to start by a very heartfelt thank you to Faith Radio and Suzy and Dr. Troy. This is a true blessing to many of us.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I have two questions for you. And one is, I know three different people who were in having some type of scan, and they were told they have spots on their liver. And I know the liver is a big filter, detox organ. So is that something of concern? And the second question is I've recently seen a chart where they talk about ionizing water, and they have on the very positive end soda pop, juice, and then they go to water, which is at zero, and then they had like lemon juice, cod liver oil, and then they have their product, which is some ionizer that ionizes the water. And they were talking about oxidation causes aging. So I was just wondering if you could give some insight on that.
So the oxidation, I'll start on the reverse again, and then you'll remind me what the first question was.
That right.
No, oxidation is like the free radical stuff. So That what we talked about earlier with free radical damage and the cholesterol, oxidation is the same type of process. And so it's really in the water conversation about the pH of the changes. And so we want to have an alkaline system. So that's what they're primarily looking at, is how well does it help with our natural ability to decrease our free radical species, our free radical damage, or our oxidation process. Because if you have less free radicals, less oxidation, you don't need as many antioxidants to help offset that. So also, a lot of what we consume and what we don't breathe off as far as the oxygen and carbon dioxide can lead to an acidic environment. So we have inflammation in our body and we have acidity. And we know that the immune system works it's less functioning in an acidic environment. Cancer has a higher probability of occurring in acidic environment. And just like the acid in our soil, certain vegetables and plants will grow in the correct pH of the soil. Certain weeds will grow in the really acidic soil. Same thing happens inside of us. And so it's all about getting that proper pH and that balance. And our diet and our lifestyle plays a lot into that. Also, when you exercise, you're breathing off a lot of that carbon dioxide and you are getting rid of a lot of acid through the lungs. When we stop moving and exercising and heavy breathing, getting to a point of being out of breath, it really can add to the amount of acid in our body. So I've used water as a tool in the toolbox, but a standalone by itself, I've never personally been able to measure it making significant changes, but it is an excellent potential support or big tool in the toolbox.
My brain is just like Jell-O.
So yes.
Liver spots.
So it really depends on what it is. So there, most of the times, if it's something like a hemangioma and stuff like that, it's not too severe. So there can be liver spots where it's not really a big problem, but there can also be liver spots where there is a big problem. So it really depends on what was causing it. I will tell you this, the liver is the most regenerative organ in our body. So we can actually repair it very, very quickly. And so if they're there and you eat really a liver friendly diet, which guess what is high in antioxidants, then that is a good way to determine if the spots are still there. If they're gone, then it was something that was more functional. But if there's some damage, it really depends on what's causing the damage. And most times it's not super serious, but it's something you have to keep an eye on. And the reports that they get as far as the scans that they did, they should be able to tell you if it's concerning, and they usually recommend follow-up. So listen to your doctor if you have spots on your liver.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
All right, Melanie's next.
Hi. So my friend and I have been training for a marathon, and I've found that after some of our runs, my knees and ankles get swollen. And I don't know that it's what I'm eating before, but I was wondering what type of fuel or non-inflammatory sugars should we be consuming during our runs, like our long runs, before and after?
So there's a lot of variability here, but generally speaking, if people are deficient in anti-inflammatory oils, they can start to get the inflammation in the ankles and knees, because those are the joints that have the most wear and tear when you're running. So it could be an inflammatory or an anti-inflammatory omega-3 oil deficiency. Also, if you actually put a little pressure behind your knee, there's a muscle there, the gastroc, it goes in and inserts underneath the knee. If it's really tight on both sides, then that can be an indication that your adrenal glands are actually needing some support. And so we see very, very commonly when the adrenal glands are in trouble, people will have knee pain.
Because
those
amazing?
Muscles
your
get
adrenals
really tight.
Are up here.
Yeah, they're way up here. So it's that same visceral somatic reflex stuff. When someone has a heart attack, they can feel pain and have pain down their left arm. Well, if I treated the left arm, I'm missing the boat, right? So with that scenario, we see a lot of times it's adrenal glands. And the things that really impact the adrenal glands are blood sugar regulation. So the types of sugars are important. And again, you need low glycemic sugar. So you need fuel that takes a while to be delivered. So you eat it, and then it's delivered an hour and a half later. High fiber, low glycemic foods. Caffeine in excess can actually cause that problem. So you have to, I know.
She's like looking down. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Yes.
I'm all done talking to you now.
Yes. So you have to watch. And certain people can't tolerate even a small amount of caffeine. So you have to know yourself a little bit. And then hormone dysregulation. Thyroid disorders can help set it up. Estrogen imbalances can also do that. Intestinal inflammation can do that. And one of the biggest problems we see is an unknown, undiagnosed food reactant. Wheat gluten is number one. Corn can be another big one. Although with corn, for whatever reason, we tend to see hip problems over knee problems for whatever reason. Dairy is another big one, and then sugar. So those are the big inflammatory ones. But if you don't have that spasm behind the knee, then you have to think more about the inflammatory part of it. And sometimes it's a physical imbalance. If your pelvis is rotated a little bit, then you will put an unequal weight distribution on your knees and ankles. So if you have pain on the inside of one knee and the outside of the other knee, and then, or one ankle on the right is worse and the knee on the left is worse, there might be a torquing mechanism where your pelvis is rotated and you're running on a twisted body or frame. So we call that in the clinic, we'd call you a twisted sister in our Christian world.
In love, of course.
In love, yes.
Interesting. Good stuff. What do you have for us now?
Mary's next.
Hi. I was diagnosed with MS about 11 years ago. And after a year of not feeling from my waist and below my waist, my legs, I went on a no-sugar, no-preservative diet, and within 6 weeks I started to feel my legs.
Whoa.
So it was an immediate change after being sick for a while. Karen and I were just talking, and we thought about the stress for the holidays, and I have read that if you sit down during your meals, and we never sit down, it seems, during our, you know, this time of the year. But if you sit down and you chew your food up to 40 times, it's just so much better for your digestion. And is that something that you've talked about or heard about? That
absolutely. Digestion starts in the mouth. And so it's very important to chew thoroughly and get those digestive juices breaking the food down before it even gets to the stomach. So that is a huge problem we actually have, because we do tend to be in a rush. And so when we are in the busy lifestyle, when it comes to sitting down and enjoying food, sit down, pray over it, communicate, and take breaks in between.
And taste it.
Taste the food.
Yeah.
When you sit down, and here's how you get joy from your food in a healthy way. You have clean food where you're using herbs on top of it, and you can taste the cilantro or the basil, and you're looking for that flavor. And then this is what I do. I'm like, cilantro. Oh, that tastes so good. Cilantro detoxifies mercury out of my body. I can feel leaving out of my body. I can taste the cilantro right there. I love that flavor. And then I ask questions to a lot of who I'm eating with. What else do you taste in here? And so it's important to try and get that, because we lose, the more toxic we are, we lose the discernment of what's in our food. And all of a sudden we're eating fake food that's high chemical, and we can't even tell. When you eat really clean, then you taste something that's unclean, you can tell instantly.
Yeah.
And I did a significant fast one summer and just ate super clean. And our clinic in Eagan, there's a McDonald's right there. And I remember it was summertime, my window was down, and I drove by McDonald's, and just the senses, this is not against McDonald's, but I got nauseous and almost threw up at the smell driving by it. And I remember the first thing I reintroduced was romaine lettuce, and I could taste the flavor of romaine lettuce, and it was abundant. It was unbelievable. Now I can't make that claim, because I'm not as clean as I was back then, but we lose those flavors the more toxic we get. And so keeping yourself really clean. So it's being mindful while you're sitting there and chew it excessively, because that's what where digestion starts, especially if you have any type of digestive disorder.
You know, that's just really true. I've heard this to be true about excessive alcohol consumption and sugar as well, where if you have so much sugar, you don't even taste the dessert anymore. I mean, you know, but once you get clean, the first thing you taste is sugar rather than Yes. You know what I'm saying? And also they say that too. When you're clean and you're not consuming alcohol, all you taste is you're blown away by the alcohol. But if you consume a lot, you don't even notice that anymore and you start to taste the flavors in a backwards way. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Where it's like your filter is completely gone.
Yes.
So to eat clean and clean things up, then you discern what's healthy and what's not. It's like you've cleaned the filter.
Exactly right. Well, and you will be able to tell right away when something's unclean, and you can taste the chemicals in the food.
Interesting.
My wife can actually discern the age of the oil that's being used to cook the foods in because of how clean she eats and what she does. And so she can tell me when the oil's off, and she tells if we're out eating in a restaurant, she'll tell them it's time to change the oil.
In your back. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, if you know my wife, she's right. She's right. I do it now, or yeah. She's going to go do it for you.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, we got a couple minutes before our break, but one of my first visits, Kevin and I were in your office, and you said, come over here, and you brought us to your monitor, and you played a video of, I think it was cells, cancer cells, trying to get in and penetrate healthy cells, and then they got in, and then the healthy cells just destroyed them, and it was like, then you went, replay. I mean, it was like, amazing. So yeah, talk about that video.
Well, it's the opposite. It's on our website.
Sorry.
But it was the healthy cell going in. It was our immune cell
attack.
Going into the cancer cell.
So they were going after it.
They were going after it. And you can see in the video under a microscope, our immune cells are very intelligent. And they need a strength to them because they go up and they butt up against the wall of the cancer cell. And after about 7 times, it eventually kind of busted through and you can see it start to swim in the cancer cell, and it's trying to disrupt the actual cell itself. And so it's important. If you have a weakened immune system, it can't get in there to help protect you. And so then you start thinking of what weakens our immune system. Stress, number one. What feeds our immune system? Antioxidants. And it's in a fluid setting, so it's got to swim. If it can't swim, then we start to see there's challenges too. It can't get to the cancerous cell. So there's a whole new thought process that most of us actually get cancer many times in our life before we ever fall prey to it, or if we ever do, but our immune system fights it off. So strengthening our immune system. And when we're sick, what do we tell you to do? Get lots of sleep, drink lots of water. So rest, lots of water, and take vitamin C, antioxidants. So why do we wait until we're sick?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that now to strengthen and boost our immune system. Stress depletes the immune system. So fuel yourself, fuel your mind. And so the video, the reason why I show it is because it's so important. A picture's worth a thousand words, but a video of your live, intelligent immune system is like 10,000 words. You can't really do it justice describing it. And when you see it, you can see that there's a lot of intelligence inside of us. And the reason why at the end the cancer cell implodes, sorry, I ruined the end of the movie for you. But
spoiler.
Spoiler. But I put an instant replay on it multiple times because I'm a sports fan. So
yeah,
it
was
it's
awesome.
A way
it
of
was
celebrating.
Like, and you see it go, you know. And, you know, I just read something the other day that talked about pancreatic cancer. And I don't know if this is inaccurate, but they suggest that, for instance, that particular cancer can come about, you'll see commonly in people who have a workaholism and a serious emotional disposition. I just thought that was interesting. But there is something to be said. We need to take a break here in a moment. But not being a workaholic and having not such a serious disposition. I mean, Ren Collective, a group, they say they discovered that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, which I love that. But the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
I mean, what if we took ourselves less serious and God more serious, and we made time for belly laughter, and we maybe cut ourselves off from this workaholism? That could only help our health, could it not?
Absolutely, yeah. Just going with the flow. I mean, you never know what life's going to bring you as far as, and what God's got planned for you. So just walking in that faith, and I mean, you never know. Crazy things can happen. You can literally lose a tooth before going in front of a live audience.
You just never know.
And you just go with it, is all I'm saying.
Do. We're going to pause here and take a break. What a great time this has been. We have got one more segment here with Dr. Troy. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Taking a short break. We'll take more audience questions when we get back in just a moment.
They can't take your soul. Set it free.
Shabbat. What a great day we've had. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we have a live studio audience today with our good friend, Dr. Troy. We've been talking about how to pace ourselves through the holidays, how to detox before we even get to the holidays so we can feel good and be present, and then lots of other health and healing questions. And Neil, we've got a few more questions from our live studio audience.
Let's go to Mary next.
Dr. Troy, can you explain how muscle response testing works or why it works?
So our body is all about communication. And so our nerves are our primary source of communication. But like we talked about earlier, even our bacteria can communicate, hormones can communicate. So through muscles, the communication is primarily neuromuscular. And so there's a threshold. And so when our nerves send a signal to a muscle, it's going to send a signal to activate or inhibit it. And so there's a threshold, and so it's called an action potential, but when it gets above that threshold, all of a sudden there's an electric charge and the muscle will activate. So that is happening all the time, 24/7, between our brain and our body. 80% of our brain is actually inhibitory. So the most of our brain shuts our muscles down. You see this when someone has a stroke. When they have a stroke, what happens? The arm can start to come up and they get into this stroke posture with their hands, and the muscles are now firing because they're not being properly inhibited by the brain. And so muscle testing can be used to gain probabilities of function or dysfunction. When you actually put pressure in one part of the body and it changes the function of a previously strong muscle, that's a potential indicator that there's dysfunction there that's sending a signal to an area of the brain that senses it and then sends an temporary inhibitory nerve signal to your other muscles. The thing to remember is it's all about probabilities. And so one of the things that we've seen in functional medicine and people who do the muscle testing, there's an art to it, because as you are actively assessing the individual, you're actively changing the individual at the same time. Because as you use one leg, you're now reinforcing signals back up to the other side of the brain, changing the potential outcome. So there's an art to it. So you have to really look at the person as a whole, not make any one decision off of a single muscle test or a single potential lab finding. And the way I want to show you how important it is, I usually tell this story or give this analogy. Astronauts are very, very healthy people. When they go into space, do you guys know how long they can actually stay in space before they have to return to Earth? Take a guess. This is great for live radio, right? Just have
yeah. Crickets.
Yep.
A year.
A year. Good job, Susie.
Thank you.
It's 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So two years before they have to return back to Earth. And the reason is there's no gravity in space. So they've lost the ability for their muscles to send signals to the brain because you don't have to contract them all the time. They have to return to Earth because they start to develop dementia and cognitive disorders and severe muscle weakness. And so with no gravity, you've lost the communication of your muscles to your brain and therefore back down to the body. And so it's important to recognize that sometimes when we have stress, we have an internal language at Synapse called metabolic switching, where we find where patients will have gone through a trauma or excessive stress mentally, chemically, or physically, and their brain is shutting down their body to protect it from injury. It's the same as going into space where they've lost that ability and they come in and they've got memory issues or sleep problems. And the reality is it's just a breakdown in communication. So muscle testing is one way to actually discern, is there a breakdown in communication? And the other analogy I always give is, if there's a breakdown in communication that leads to dysfunction, dysfunction will eventually lead to disease. And that's true for our health world. It's true for any relationship, whether it's brain to body or spouse to spouse. If I stop listening to my wife, there's a disease about to come around the corner, right? So it's very important to maintain that level of communication from brain to body, cell to cell, and person to person.
Wow.
Another question from Stacy.
I just have two quick questions, Dr. Troy. I'm wondering about Epsom salt. I've heard that soaking in Epsom salt, our body doesn't get enough. I think it's magnesium. I'm wondering what you think about that. And then also in the evenings or after I'm sleeping, if I get up to use a restroom, it feels like there's like a blood rush, like a mad rush going to my feet. Am I exercising too much that day? Or
Okay, so the first Epsom salts, love them. Don't overdo them because it's all about balance. But yeah, the majority of people have a magnesium deficiency in the United States. And magnesium is important for 400 different enzymes in the body. And so for my people who have a hard time getting to sleep at nighttime, almost always it's a magnesium deficiency. And it's a hard thing. When the adrenal glands are good, it's a lot of times a magnesium deficiency. And the problem is it's hard to get the magnesium in the brain back up because our body becomes so deficient that it uses it all up. So a lot of times you have to take a different form of magnesium, magnesium thionate, to actually get the brain magnesium built up to help you calm down and relax so you can get to sleep. If you're taking magnesium glycinate or citrate or anything like that, your muscles will take that up. The bowels will take it up. The less absorbable form of magnesium, the more it stays in the bowels, and you will use it as a laxative, if you will. It'll pull the water into the bowels. So there are multiple forms of magnesium. Some will help with the bowels, some will help with the muscles, and some will help with the brain. So the more you can take an Epsom salt bath, you're really helping the muscle part of it and getting that magnesium in there.
So I want to jump in. It's also really great for detox. I mean, for that purpose as well, pulling toxins out. But I want to make sure we grab a question here from my little sister.
How do you know if a detox is safe and healthy? There's so many out there. And what do you think about like those ion foot baths where people detox through their feet?
Yeah. So For me, I have to observe. So healthy and safe, I look at how natural is the process for the detoxification, how unnatural is it? Then I look at the reaction. Generally speaking, if you're doing a detox, day 2 to day 5 will be the toughest days, and then you should start to recover. Many people will break out. That's actually common with a detox, but it should be temporary. So if we go through withdrawal of anything, like if you stop coffee and you've been drinking 6 cups a day and you stop, you're going to get a headache. Most people will. That's withdrawal. That should be temporary. So detoxes will have some withdrawal symptoms associated with it because you're stopping doing something that the body is addicted to. So you have to really pay attention. You should have mild to moderate flu-like symptoms without having a flu in a detox, or you may not notice any problems. Then you know it's safe. That's why a lot of times the more intense detoxes, you should be under supervision of someone who's doing things. They have fasting centers for the extended fasts where the doctors will actually stay with you as you become weaker and weaker because you have to have someone observing. So anytime you do a detox, do it with someone else so that you can stay connected. And generally speaking, try not to use anything in high amounts that that might be not natural, or if it is natural, just really do your research on the negative stuff. Unfortunately, you have to read some of the negative stuff. And if it doesn't quite make sense to you, then you can get a trusted source. I always tell people that once you find your trusted sources for things like that, it's a little box we get to check off, and that's good that this one's okay. So there are some dangerous ones out there. But if you have a mild to moderate detox reaction, that's actually what we're looking for.
Well, we're going to have to do the foot bath thing off the air because we've hit the end. This has been great. I want to thank you, friends, for joining us today. What an amazing, amazing time. Pray that we can do this again. Wow. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thank you, Lord. Good day.